This morning, our scripture reading is taken from Matthew 24, 1 through 3, and it states, Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. Do you see all of these things? He asked. Truly, I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? So today's message is going to be on when Jesus returns. And we're going to look at two questions. And that is, first off, we as believers, are we ready? And next, are we able to tell others with confidence we are secure in what we know and believe? And that is a big problem oftentimes with believers. We struggle trying to figure out what it is we do believe and how to communicate that effectively. And one of the reasons we struggle to communicate that effectively and are often nervous to do it is because we do not have a good understanding of what it is we are to communicate and what it is we believe. And so we're going to go through Matthew 24, and we're going to look at what it is that we are to expect, what it is we are to know when Jesus returns. And we're going to go through this in chunks. And the first piece that we're going to go through is Matthew 24, 4 through 8. And let's look at what Jesus was telling everybody here in this passage. Jesus said, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places, and all these things are the beginning of birth pains." So what are we learning here? What did Jesus tell us? What did he tell his disciples here in this passage? And it is significant. So the first thing we see is, watch out that no one deceives you. This is big. We obviously know that Satan is the master deceiver, and we are learning here from Jesus that he is telling us right out of the gate, watch that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name. Okay, so we have a lot of things that come from the evil in this world, and the devil is going to make sure that we are as deceived as possible, that we are confused as possible, that we aren't certain of what we are looking for and waiting for. And I hope this message today is going to clear a lot of that up for many of us. So, for many will come in my name. Notice it doesn't just say a few, but many that are claiming, I am the Messiah, and these many will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. So, as I said, first, we need to make sure we're not deceived. We need to know that when Jesus returns, there is going to be no doubt, as we will learn here in just a little bit as we go through this passage, we're going to learn that there will be no doubt at all when Jesus returns. Then we are to make sure we do not get alarmed by all of the chaos that's taking place right this very second around the world. This chaos isn't going to stop. This chaos is going to continue, and we are going to continue to hear about war and rumors of wars and famines and earthquakes and nations rising against nations. Exactly what is going on around the world right now, which has been going on around the world since Adam and Eve sinned, this is going to continue, and it must. Such things must happen. Jesus' words, from his mouth to our ears, this isn't something I have created. He said, it must happen. So, because it must happen, and the end is still to come, do not be alarmed. And many Christians wring their hands, along with the rest of the world, telling everybody else how awful it is, how terrible it is. Wouldn't it be great if there was peace? Aha! But that's the message we're supposed to spread. We are supposed to spread the message of peace, not alarm. That is our job as believers, and that is encouraging news, and likely will be far more accepted and people wanting to know what we have if we are not alarmed and following what God requests of us to do. Last, in verse 8, it says, all of these things are the beginning of birth pains. So again, this is very much in the realm of the word birth. Ladies, if there are any of you who have given birth, That means you understand that when there are contractions and things taking place along the pregnancy of the many months that you are carrying this child, you will understand that the first twinge, the second twinge, the first pain, the first amount of discomfort that you have, it is the beginning of birth. It is the beginning. It is the signs that the child is going to come. But that could be a while. There could be many, many more days, many more weeks, many more months before this child is actually born. And Jesus is using this as an example because, especially for women and only women, you understand this. We look now at Matthew 24, 9 through 14 as we continue. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. All right, so a bit of a repeat here we see from Matthew, and he's also repeating again that there are going to be many who will turn away from the faith, betray and hate each other, and there will be many false prophets that will appear and deceive many people. This is obviously very important because he mentions it twice, back to back. So the other thing we need to remember is that we are going to be persecuted. Jesus mentioned that. He made it very clear. We are going to be persecuted because of him. And he says, blessed are those who are persecuted in my name. You are blessed because of that, because the same way they hated me, they will hate you. Again, this is something that we are to expect. It is not something that we should be alarmed about. Isn't it awful that Christians are being persecuted? Well, yes, it's awful in as much that there are wars and famines and destruction and all of these things. However, this is where we are at. This is what God told us we were going to experience. We have been forewarned and we have been called to persevere through all of these things that are going to happen, not maybe. And we shouldn't try to wish something away that God said is going to happen. Consider it pure joy, Paul says, when you face trials and situations and heartache and gruesome, gruesome experiences. Consider it pure joy when you face those things. That's what we're learning here from Matthew as well. We also see in verse 13, it says, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Are we standing firm? Do we know that we have salvation in Jesus Christ? Do we know he is going to return? Do we believe that he is going to return? Are we convinced of this and know that the day he returns, the second he returns, we are going to be called up to be with him for eternity? And it says in verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. I find this verse very interesting that it says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached. With or without you and I doing what we're supposed to do, there's going to be people that God has in place to do this. The question is, do you want to be one of those who helps preach the gospel of this kingdom? And it is the goal and the job of the believer to do that to the whole world, and to be prepared and to be excited and ready to tell of this coming of Jesus Christ. And then the end will come. So whenever God decides that enough people have heard, the word has been sufficiently spread around the world for those who are here to hear it, then the end will come. Let's go on down to Matthew 24, 26 through 27. So if anyone tells you, there he is, out in the wilderness, do not go out, or here he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. And this is also very exciting. This we learn that if you've ever been in a thunderstorm and the house is somewhat dark and you can see potentially both ends of the house, the lightning will be just as bright at the front of the house, the side of the house, and the back of the house. It doesn't change. We don't know actually where the lightning is coming from. We don't know if the storm is in the east or the west or the north or the south. We know, though, there is a storm. But the lightning could originate on the west side of the house, but the east side of the house, the opposite side of the house, still receives the same flash and the same brightness of lightning. It's all encompassing, even though it is in one place. And so it is For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. In other words, we are going to know for sure that it is Jesus, not someone in some location on the planet. We are going to know that it is Jesus because it is going to be all-encompassing. It is going to be seen around the world. We then go to Matthew 24, 29 through 31, and we see immediately after the distresses of these days, what will happen? The sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Then, after that, will appear the Son of Man in heaven. And then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Does that not excite you? Is that not incredibly impactful and exciting to know that this day is coming, especially for the believer? So we have come to the conclusion. The world has heard. Jesus says, it is now time for me to come. Immediately after these days, we will now see the true sign of Jesus returning. The sun will be darkened. So remember, this is going to be, when Jesus returns, this is going to be a regular day. This is going to be a 24-hour period, somewhere in our morning and night, somewhere in our 24-hour day around the globe. The sun is going to go dark. The moon is not going to give its light. The stars will fall from the skies, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. So remember, one part of the globe is always in sunshine. One part is always in darkness. So both sides of the earth, when Jesus returns, the sunny side is going to lose the sun, and the night sky is going to lose the moon and the stars. The entire world will go dark. That is what we know will be the coming of the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, the rapture. This isn't going to be someone somewhere, as I mentioned earlier, saying, oh, hey, I'm the Messiah, look over here. This is going to be a global event. There will be no mistaking Jesus is coming back. Matthew 24, 36 through 39, as we go on. But about the day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. We get now a second very, very impactful look at what is going to take place. First, the earth goes dark. That's going to be pretty impressive on its own. Next, the day or the hour is going to be unknown. This is going to be a surprise. This is going to take everybody off guard, even the believers. We don't know. So who doesn't know? The hour and the day is not known. The angels don't know it. The Son of God, Jesus, doesn't know it. Only God the Father. And this could bring up another big conversation and say, so wait a minute. So you say that Jesus is God, God in the flesh. And how does Jesus not know if Jesus is God? Well, that is further indication that God is bigger than we are. God's understanding far supersedes our understanding. But we also know that Jesus, while God, is very separate from God. Just as while the Spirit is God, the Spirit is separate from God, and the Spirit is separate from the Son, we have the three distinct, unique, individual identities that are indeed one God. But that makes God who God is. We can't quite figure him out, and that is the glory of this. But that is a whole separate message for a whole separate topic. But we see here that only one knows. God. God the Father is it. He's the only one who knows when this day, when this moment is going to happen. But as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be the coming of the Son of Man. Again, it will be a normal 24-hour period around the world. There'll be someone that's at noon in the sun and someone that's at midnight in darkness, and we are going to be doing our thing. We are going to be eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. up to the time that Jesus returns. And the world will know nothing about what would happen until the sun went out, the stars went out, the heavenly bodies were shaken, the Son of Man appeared, he's here, and now everyone says, wow. What did we read in the beginning? We will see Jesus coming on the clouds of heaven, the power and the glory that he has. The angels will sound the trumpet. This is going to be what takes place, and Jesus will bring his people home at that point. This is how it will be, the coming of the Son of Man. Now let's look further at Matthew 24, 42 through 44. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. Now, there's a couple things here we can take away from this. Therefore, keep watch, it says, because we do not know on what day or hour the Lord will come. Well, we already got that because we only know that God the Father, in his identity as God the Father, is the only one that knows. So why do Christians spend so much time talking about the end times? Well, this is one of those messages, because we have to talk about what is to be expected because we want to be ready. We want to be prepared. We want to know and understand these things as believers because it is our job to teach these things, which is why we need to know them. However, Christians go one step further. We love to talk about the end times are surely coming, but we don't talk about them as something joyous. We wring our hands about it. We try to get specific about what it is that we think we know and we think we understand about the coming of Jesus. Oftentimes the conversations are such, the times are worse than they've ever been. It's really, really bad. The famous word that's used since COVID, this is unprecedented. Things are unprecedented, and we are having things that have never happened before, which is not true. The world has gone through chaos since Adam and Eve sinned, and we don't know what time Jesus is coming because we're making assumptions based on things that we understand, and our understanding is so limited. So instead of telling everybody, this has to be the end times, we have to be in the end times, surely Jesus has got to be coming soon. Instead of talking about that, we need to be spending time telling people, giving people the testimony, telling the gospel to the world. And that is not trying to indicate when we think, based on what we know, what we think we know, that Jesus is coming sooner than he was at any other time. This is not about the message of when he will return. This is about the message of that he will return. And are you ready? That is the message we need to proclaim. That is what we need to be awake for. That is what we need to be caught doing when Jesus returns. The question is, are we going to be theorizing based on our understanding of what the media presents of how bad the world is, that this has got to be closer than it ever has been? Or should we be telling people that they need to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Let's not have people standing outside of the boat, as it said in Matthew 24, 36 through 39. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them away. As believers, we need to make sure it is our job to do to the best of our ability that no one is taken away by the flood, that everyone is taken up with God to heaven on the day he returns for the rapture. That is our job. That is what we need to be caught doing when Jesus returns.